In the collect of today's Mass, we pray, O God, by whose gift it comes that thy faithful serve thee worthily and well, grant us, we beseech thee, to reach thee running without stumbling. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I met a Jew at the Milwaukee airport on Memorial Day, proprietor, I think, of a little used bookstore at the airport. Now, I know Father Cicada reminded us just a few weeks ago that according to the new identity rules, you're not meant to use the word Jew. The chosen people consider the term perhaps too sacred. It would be a profanation to say it. Or maybe they're a little bit scared about people thinking of the reality. And so nowadays you get the softer adjective rather than the bold-faced noun, a Jewish gentleman. Now that would be acceptable. Well, in any case, he was a very nice man, and he gave me a discount on my used books. And we got talking, the Jew and I. Now, this was right after that business in the headlines. Bergoglio always has something about atheists being redeemed, the meaning, I think, that they all go straight to heaven. Now, the Jew said to me, now, I'm not religious, of course. And how sad. He's not baptized. He doesn't have God's life sanctifying grace in his soul. But he allowed, as he did rather like the new pope, he was simple, he thought, and popular in his style of speech. Well, simple he may sound, and extraordinarily popular with the press, that's true, but he is very hard to understand. That is to say, to make some Catholic sense out of his words. Today, let us consider that startling statement he's been repeating lately about traditional Catholics. He refers to us as restorationists, as St. Paul says, to restore all things in Christ. And he rather indicates that he thinks we're heretical, that we would deny the necessity of grace, as St. Paul so stresses in today's gospel epistle, saying our sufficiency is not from ourselves. Or in the collect, how we pray that it's God's gift that enables us to serve him worthily and well. So Bergoglio calls us, Marxists love to categorize people. Everyone's got to be categorized in some sort of a group. He calls us Pelagians. Who on earth were the Pelagians? And what's the point? Well, one preacher just last Sunday summed up this 5th century Celtic heresy as the original self-help movement. You might say they teach our sufficiency is from ourselves. This is the only heresy to originate in Britain. Pelagius was a Welsh monk. They say his given name was Morgan. And St. Jerome refers to him as a Scot, because back then the Irish were called Scots, but that's another story. And he said that this Scotsman was so stuffed with Scottish porridge that he came out with all of this nonsense. Now, this heretic taught that man could save himself by his own efforts without God's help. And I suppose that our heretic in chief, Bergoglio, sees something about us. I mean, our old faith and practice, the determined, disciplined approach to a day or to a life, our effort to get to heaven, our precise prayers, our counting of prayers, with the beads especially, as somehow heretical. Now, he's an old Novus Ordo character, way back from the 60s. He's long been liberated from all of this. He's an ecumenist. And so, at first blush, He sides with the Lutherans. You know how many Protestants hold that salvation comes through faith or trust in God alone? Well, he, with the Lutherans, refers to Catholics as Pelagians who practice what they call works righteousness, a righteousness that comes only from external works. But as we shall see, the new religion it is that is Pelagian, both in Catholic, both in practice, rather, and in spirit. Pelagian, but at the same time very ecumenical. You'd have to be ecumenical, embracing Protestants and Jews alike. A quick glance at it this morning will enable us to see the glory of God and of grace and of his plan for man in our unchanged Catholic teaching. Pelagius denied original sin. What does that mean? That Adam and Eve, we believe, were created in grace and that they fell by committing the first mortal sin, and that this sin is passed on to us. So Pelagians taught that baptism was not strictly necessary. Should a child die without it, it would go straight to heaven. And furthermore, that since there isn't original sin, the redemption was not strictly necessary, that religion is just a matter of being a good person. How reasonable that sounds. How up to date. Most Americans would hold it. It's a teaching of Vatican II. The sacraments, Christ's sacrifice, are in this system superfluous, as is the whole concept, much less the divisions of sin. Original sin, you see, was just the bad example that Adam gave at the start, which got the ball rolling. And Christ's death was just a good example of being selfless rather than selfish. It wasn't to pay the price of our sins. The Mormons have a similar idea. And that's why they say they don't have a cross, they have a stake on the top of their steeples. God's grace is not necessary for man. That's the idea. You can do it by yourself. Self-help. Sanctifying grace, God's life in our soul, which starts with baptism and increases with the sacraments and is lost by original sin, or actual grace, that little heavenly push without which no one can do any good at all. These things which we ask for in today's collect, we profess to be God's gift, whereby we do serve him worthily and well. What are we left with? Ah, the old enemy returns, naturalism, that man, by his own means, without any reference to the supernatural order, can achieve his good, his purpose in existence. That's the whole war that's been waged for centuries now by what Father Fahey, the great Irish priest and writer of Christ the King, calls the organized forces of naturalism. The Jewish nation, Freemasonry, and secularism and atheism, modernism today. This is the teaching, too, of Vatican II, in Gaudium et Spes, you see it in that document. It's all about man's dignity and man's autonomy and man's freedom. Now, to implement the new spirit of Vatican II, that Freemason, Bunini, rewrote the Mass to remove the negative theology, you know this, and the prayers in particular, today's, for example, had to go, and whatever was left out in the English translation. Father Cicada demonstrates all of this in his great book, The Work of Human Hands. The Novus Ordo, however, the Novus Ordo is Pelagian. Pelagian in its attitude towards baptism. Baptism today is put off, delayed, given only once a month after obligatory classes for the parents. And why? Because it's just an entrance into the Christian community. It's not necessary for salvation. It's not a washing or a cleansing of the soul from that sin with which we are all of us born. Catholics, parents, don't delay a baby's baptism. You don't need the mother to be there. You just need the baby. And that's how we got godparents. And it's not necessary, strictly speaking, to plan a party. After all, the angels give a beautiful party right in the baby's soul as soon as that child is filled with sanctifying grace. The Novus Ordo is Pelagian in its worship. It's all man-centered, isn't it? The priest or presider, the president, he faces the people and he interacts and entertains them during the whole service. The Novus Ordo church is deliberately bare of saints and decoration, because the people are meant to be now the decoration. The Novus Ordo rejects the concept of a beautiful sacred space in favor of a plain, practical Protestant assembly place. The modernists, the Novus Ordo, are Pelagian in their use of, this is the tricky part, theological vocabulary. They use the same terms that we Catholics do, but they invest the words with another meaning. That's the modernist trick. Grace, well, that's just man's free will. Or redemption, that just means to lead a good life. And baptism, as we've seen, is reduced to joining the church. The Novus Ordo is Pelagian when it comes to the whole question of the role of women. Bergoglio said recently on the plane, the church doesn't have a theology of women, whatever that means, but they have gone already a long way towards embracing the women's liberation movement, rejecting the teaching of St. Paul. You see it in the altar girls, or the majority of their service now being conducted by women. And just recently, the cardinal in charge of religious has declared that, well, the nuns on the bus, we used to call them just sisters, but nowadays they call themselves women religious. Well, he declared that they're prophets now. They have a prophetic role in the new one world religion. The Novus Ordo is Pelagian when it comes to the Jews. The Pelagians held that the Old Testament is just as good as the New. There's no real advantage, the law of Moses or the law of grace. In the Novus Ordo, the Jews are rehabilitated as our older brothers. Their covenant is still valid, and there's no need for them to convert, to be baptized, to receive grace. Indeed, it would be considered anti-Semitic to mention it, which of course would be the unforgivable sin. Bergoglio, let it be noted, first paid his dues to the Jews, chosen people, well before he was chosen for his new role. This he did by participating in many Jewish ceremonies. It is a mortal sin for a Catholic to do so. And even co-authoring a book with a rabbi. So it was only after genuflecting to the Jews that he bowed to Mecca recently by praising the Mohammedans. Last of all, the Novus Ordo is Pelagian when it comes to evolutionism. The Pelagians believed that death was natural to man and not a punishment imposed by God for sin. Now, the Novus Ordo, vast majority, they believe and teach evolution. That is to say, think of it, that death and destruction were created by God, that they're just a natural process rather than the wages of sin, St. Paul, and a punishment from God. It is a classic tactic of the enemy to accuse one's foe of one's own faults. But with Pope Saint Innocent, he was the one in the 5th century who condemned these Pelagians, with him we stand today innocent of these accusations. And furthermore, it was when he gave that glorious condemnation that St. Augustine said the famous words, Roma locuta, causa finita. Rome has spoken, the cause is completed. Our life, our supernatural life, fed by the sevenfold sources of the sacraments, valid still and sustained at every moment by actual grace, our Catholic life continues unchanged. It's rather glorious if you think of it. The triumph of grace, of her whom we love, who is full of grace, who came from the chosen race, but is infinitely greater by sanctifying grace that fills her, whose praise we love to tell and never tire of counting in our prayers, so that we may follow her homeward to heaven. That's our work this week, and that without stumbling. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.